I'm Steve Potter. This is Cityscape. And still to come, cast members from Wicked host a non-Ozzian performance at the Sheldon to benefit Stages St. Louis and Broadway Cares. And if you're interested in a chance to ride in Glinda's bubble, stay tuned. But first, for our monthly soundbite segment with Sauce Magazine, we're going to be talking to restaurant critic Michael Renner. But before we do that, magazine editor Stacy Schultz joins us. Hi, Stacy. Welcome back to the program.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me.
First, you have any interest in Glinda's Bubble? I'm just curious.
I've actually seen Wicked in St. Louis when it came in a few years ago, and it was my first musical I'd ever seen. I loved it.
It's a great show.
It is.
We're going to be looking forward to that. Well, in an upcoming saucemagazine.com on your website there, Michael Renner is going to be talking about, I guess, the best of the best as far as restaurants, foods, trends of the past year. It's a little unusual for you to approach these topics in this way, isn't it?
It is. Usually, I mean, we do have our Reader's Choice poll that we run every year that gets published in July, in which we allow our readers to tell us their favorite food and restaurants and bars and things like that around town. But this being the end of the year, we thought it would be fun to kind of look back on the highs of the year and our favorite dishes and trends and things like that. And we thought, who better to do that than Michael, who has been writing our new and notable restaurant review column since 2008. And, you know, this is the man who gets paid to eat at the most exciting restaurants in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. So who better?
What qualifies him to do that, do you think?
He's a really nice guy.
That's it?
That's it.
Okay. Hey, listen, before we go on then, tell me what we can find in Sauce Magazine on the stands now in the December issue and then looking ahead to January.
Yeah, absolutely. Our cover story is an interview with Jamie Kilgore, who is not only the wife of famed mixologist Ted Kilgore, but she's also a very talented bartender herself behind the bar at Cello in the Four Seasons. And she's talking about her favorite, you know, booze-filled gifts to give for the holidays and her favorite way to celebrate during the holidays. We also have a feature on some new cuts of meat that we're seeing around town and some more fine dining restaurants that are beef and pork cheek and tongue. So that's pretty interesting and how those are being used. And we also have a review of Pastoria, which is Gerard Kraft's new casual Italian pasta and pizza-based restaurant in Clayton.
Great. Then January will be on the stands in no time.
It will indeed. And we're very excited because January is actually our Ones to Watch feature, in which we choose about 5 to 7 men and women in St. Louis who are young and doing interesting things in St. Louis and who we think are going places in the next few years.
Well, Michael Renner is a restaurant critic for Sauce Magazine. He's also written for the Riverfront Times and written about jazz for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and he joins us now. I'm Michael Renner. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Steve.
It sounds like a dream job to me. I mean, if your research involves eating in great restaurants and listening to jazz, how do you get that job and sign me up?
It is a great job, but you know, I get absolutely no sympathy when I tell people that reviewing restaurants after a while can be somewhat of a grind because everybody thinks, you lost
me already.
Yeah, I know, exactly. I get no sympathy. But it's not just like you're going out to eat with friends and having a great time and drinking great wine and enjoying everything. You are actually on the entire time. So you're constantly paying attention to the ambiance, everything.
You know, it must be difficult because I've thought about that myself. And I mean, aren't you ever in a bad mood? Or maybe you just don't feel right. And, you know, food doesn't taste right to you because, I don't know, you have the sniffles or something.
It's part of the job. You know, especially if you don't feel like it. I mean, sometimes, you know you have to go out and you have to be on and pay attention and be somewhat critical and remember what you're eating.
Well, I know there's no such thing as a degree from Restaurant Critic University. So how do you qualify for a job like that?
Well, I have been freelance writing for several years now, starting out doing jazz reviews and performance reviews and such. And it was many years ago, I think sometime maybe in the mid-90s, and the Riverfront Times at the time was looking for some food writers. And I had applied, and I love to cook. I've paid attention to food. I come out of – my family is very into food. So it's just a matter of how do you pay attention to food, but also how do you translate that into something that people actually want to read about that you have some sort of informed opinion about.
Well, we've had an interesting year with Sauce Magazine. So let's talk about some of the things that you've experienced, and your thoughts can be found at saucemagazine.com. Let's start with, I don't know, some of the best dishes of the year.
there were a lot. I mean, I'm going to start with two vegetables that I've seen all over the place: Brussels sprouts and kale. So kale is the current darling vegetable of restaurants. It's the green of the moment. But I specifically remember two dishes I had. One is at the new restaurant Cleveland Heath over in Edwardsville, Illinois, which is a great little restaurant that opened up this year. But they have their kale is a chiffonade of raw greens, and then they toss it with garlic, and then they do, you know, toss it with a lemon vinaigrette and a little bit of garlic and salt and just red pepper flakes. So it's just this beautiful, crunchy, delicious, fresh, and they put some Parmesan chips on it. So that's very delicious. And then the other one is at Pastaria, which has a slightly different take on theirs. Theirs is more of they use shaved greens. And then it's more like a Caesar salad because they toss it in this creamy anchovy-based dressing. They have breadcrumbs and pecorino cheese, and it's just – I mean, I saw so many plates of their kale salad on going out to tables, and it's probably one of the more popular dishes.
And Brussels sprouts, you said?
So Brussels sprouts, also at Cleveland Heath, they did a really great job with Brussels sprouts. So the menu just kind of says Brussels sprouts, you know, lemon vinaigrette, capers, and shallots. But these are deep fried. These have this crunchy, sweet tenderness to them. And then you throw in the salinity of the capers with that. It's just a great counterpoint and just nice contrast with the lemon. So I really like those.
I love Brussels sprouts, but that's a funny vegetable, isn't it? I mean, I have arguments with people. You either love it or you hate it.
Exactly. I mean, and people have strong opinions about Brussels sprouts.
They do.
I'm absolutely shocked. And it's not like I grew up eating Brussels sprouts, but I love making that at home. I love roasting Brussels sprouts. I just think it's it's another one of those popular vegetables this year.
Mm-hmm. What about some of the trends? I can think of some of the trends just off the top of my head that we talked about in our segments over the last year that I thought were interesting. One, which I love, was the whole food truck thing.
Yeah, and that was one of my favorite dishes that I had was from a food truck. It's from the Chop Shop food truck. It's called the Caddy, and it's just like a giant sushi burrito. So it's like yellowfin tuna and cucumber and avocado and sprouts, and it's just a big, wonderful piece. But there's some creative stuff coming out of food trucks. And the other trend I think you'll see is a lot of food trucks now are switching over to also opening a bricks and mortar spot and restaurant. So there's quite a few food trucks that are at least considering that too.
Do you think food is that just a trend that will go away, or is that here to stay?
Well, I don't know if it's a current fad or not. I know they're very popular. Well, I think that trend will stay. The real question is going to be, what can a particular city support? How many food trucks? Because it's not an easy business. So it'll get down to market demand. And
something I had never even heard about till we tackled it on one of our soundbite segment recently was pop-up restaurants. I think that's pretty fascinating.
It is pretty fascinating, and there's been several. Josh Galliano did two, or did he do three? I think he did two of them. I went to one of them where he had great fried chicken. You've got several of them coming up that just pop up. And it's an interesting way for, I think, chefs to, one, experiment with something new, two, to make some money for whatever project they're probably working on, whether it's opening up a regular restaurant, a full-time restaurant. So it's a good way to get that cash infusion. And it's a good way to generate just a lot of buzz about what you're doing as well.
Mm-hmm. Can a certain chef do a continuous pop-up restaurants, you know, over and over, or does it need to turn into a brick-and-mortar business at some point?
Actually, John Perkins, who is a pretty talented chef around town, he's been doing some underground dinners and catering and such over the past few months. He just got a space to do, like, one-month-only pop-up dinners, which each month will be a different theme, a different dinner, a different menu, everything. So he's, I think, and that's really the first person I've seen that's going to be doing it on that consistent of a basis. He already has his first four concepts in place. And so I think it'll be a true test of how much, you know, how much one chef can get buzz for and get people to come back for and things like that. And I think it's really exciting.
Well, people are always looking for an adventure, and it's an adventure pop-up restaurant, right? You go to something new, you don't know what to expect maybe.
Sure.
Right, and that's, I mean, that's exactly what makes dining out so fun and why we all do it. I mean, it's not just to go out and, you know, fill ourselves up and, you know, get something to eat real quick. Of course, we do that, but it has to be something exciting, and I think that's probably why you see some of these trends. I mean, the one of the other trends that I've noticed is just how many restaurants are doing progressive tasting menus, the prefix menu idea. Uh-huh. And that allow and you get what that restaurant serves. I mean, the perfect example of that is a Little Country Gentleman in Clayton that just opened up. And I think it's one of the more interesting openings of this year. It's half and half by day, the restaurant half and half by day for breakfast and brunch and lunch. And by night, it's Little Country Gentleman. And what Mike Randolph is doing is that's all you get at night. It is a prefix menu. You get a $38 menu or $35 menu. You get a six course. That's for three courses. You can do a six course or you can do a 12 course. And you get what they serve. And that's very creative.
What do you think about the whole microbrewery trend in St. Louis? Seems to be very healthy.
Oh, very healthy. And what's there not to like about it? I think we're up to, 17, I believe, microbreweries right now. A lot of them are starting to serve food. One of my top dishes this year had to do with sandwiches, and it was a handheld sandwich. I had a perennial artisan ales, which was it was essentially like a handheld chicken pot pie, which was delicious. But there are so many opening up, and there's more coming. I mean, there's a lot more being planned. So I think it's a great trend for St. Louis, and it's kind of put us on the map for that.
What do you see? Any predictions for 2013?
Ooh, predictions.
As far as, I don't know what any particular chef might be doing or a trend or anything?
Well, I think you'll see a continuation of some of the trends we've noticed this year. So there's going to be less emphasis, I think, on fine dining and more emphasis on small plates and casual dining. I think you'll still see some more the prefix menu, tasting menu ideas.
Uh-huh. Has the economy, did that have a big impact in this last year?
I don't know if it's the last year, but the economy certainly has had a big impact since, 2009, 2010. I think there has been a huge emphasis on reducing prices, on reducing menu size, and going with small plates and, more tapas kind of things. I've noticed that. But again, you can spend a lot of money on small plates very quickly. So I think I've noticed a lot of places that are serving small plates, it's not necessarily a cheap night out. I mean, nobody should be confused about that.
And we're always looking for healthy, too, these days, right?
Right. That's the kale and Brussels sprouts.
We'll go back to that. Hey, I want to ask you a question before we run out of time here. When you're talking about reviewing, we spoke about that a minute when we began. And so you go to a restaurant, and maybe you're not feeling well, or maybe it's the moon's in a weird phase. How many times do you go back?
Oh, so for restaurant reviewing, the standard typically is you go at least two times. You wait a couple of months for the restaurant to open. You go a couple of times, sometimes three, sometimes four, depending, so you can get a feel. I try to go on one weeknight. I try to go one weekend night just to get a sense of what's going on in the crowd.
Well, it's like a play review to me. I love to read a good review of a play, but when I read a bad review, it kind of hurts my feelings, even if I have nothing to do with it or haven't even seen it. So my question to you is, and I know you like to help promote restaurants and chefs and good business, what about when you don't have anything nice to say? Do you write about that?
My philosophy is there are very few restaurants that you would completely 100% write negative about. There hasn't been that many over the years. I take the stance of, we only have 12 issues a year, right? So that's 12 restaurants that we're writing about. So we're going to try to pick the ones that we think people are going to be interested in going to anyway. So my idea is you don't necessarily trash those places, but you try to provide constructive criticism.
And you have to be anonymous, right? Because people can't know who you are or coming.
Exactly.
So like, do you wear a wig and a mustache and a
yes.
funny hat or what?
Yes, all that. And you should see my dress collection. But
I wish we had time for that. Maybe we could have a link online.
That's actually really important to us at Sauce. We make sure, the only way to have a fair, unbiased review is to make sure that no one knows that you're treated the same way everyone else and you have the same experience. So that anonymity of Michael and all of our other reviewers is very important.
And I also think that what people sometimes don't understand is there is essentially an iron curtain at most magazines or newspapers between the sales department who go out and generate ads for the magazine with restaurants and the editorial side. So mm-hmm. There's no buying of stories. I don't know who the advertising people are, essentially, and I don't even know what they're selling.
The way it should be.
Right, exactly.
Well, exactly.
You can check out more of Michael Renner's thoughts at saucemagazine.com, and don't forget to look for the December issue of Sauce Magazine on the stands, and January will be coming up. Stacey Schultz, again, thanks for being here, and Michael Renner, Sauce Magazine's restaurant critic. It's been fun talking to both of you, and have a great holiday season.
You too. Thanks.
Thanks. Happy holidays.
Coming up next on Cityscape, A Wicked Wonderland at the Sheldon. This is St. Louis Public Radio.